a quick introduction. My name's Kyle McLeod. I've been going to the church for 5 years now, and we do a training mostly for Summit and singles ministry as far as training their pro group leaders and Bible study leaders, and so that's kind of what we're doing tonight, not specifically for Summit, kind of for everybody, you know, how to lead a Bible study.
I work in Summit with a single woman, and but the training that we're doing in here tonight is really applicable to every small group in the church. And so if you did not get the handouts on the counter, you need one of each. And there should be a sign-in sheet coming around. So I want everyone to sign in because we need to know that you are here. And so we're going to kind of go quickly. We have a lot of information to cover, and we'll talk to you about the handouts as we go through.
Right. So first, I kind of want to give y'all like a little bit of a, I don't know, an inspiration kind of why small groups and communities are important. I guess a couple of weeks ago, I was reading through just a blog, Desiring God, and it was about pornography and addiction. But they had a link to a video kind of about community, and it was a video from this guy, well, not a Christian video at all. He's like kind of a, from a psychology standpoint, and it was about what we know about addiction is wrong. It was kind of the title of the video, and he brought up, it was kind of interesting from a psychology standpoint, because he brings up this old study where like in 1970 they put a rat in a cage, and they gave it two water bottles, and one was like a regular water bottle, and one was laced with cocaine or heroin or something terrible, and like the rat drinks the cocaine water bottle until he dies. And so kind of the idea for a long time was, okay, you know, rats are addicted to the drug part of cocaine. There's something in cocaine that the rat craves once it drinks it once, and then it dies. And then, so, but there's another psychologist that came up with another study, and he said, you know, well, we're putting this rat in a cage by itself with nothing to do, no one around it. And so he replicated the study, but he made a rat park with other rats and different colored balls and tubes, and then he gave, you know, the same two water bottles in there, and they found that none of the rats touched the cocaine water bottles, none of them died. And so it's kind of a interesting point about how much community affects addiction. And he brought up the Vietnam War as like a study from a human standpoint. And in Vietnam, he said 20% of people over there used heroin, so there was a fear when the people came back that they would be addicts. And he says, no, you know, and they came back 95% stopped right away. So it's really interesting just to hear. You always hear about community from like a Christian standpoint, how important it is. But he just talked about just addiction to drugs and to pornography and smartphones, and kind of went through several different addictions and how community is so important in battling those. And I heard that echoed through several sermons. And one of the things that they like to point out is the number, some of the research, and the number of friends that we have that we could call in a time of crisis. They said that number has been declining since 1950. You know, if you ask someone, hey, how many friends do you have in a call in time of crisis, that number goes down, and the number of square feet in our house is going up, so we're spread apart, and we're a little bit more distant from having close friendships. And so I don't want to say that to like spread doom on the conversation, but I think we have a lot of challenges in your life Bible studies, even where you have people here connected at the church. And we kind of want to go from a point of connection where, you know, we can be in, we're good about being out of place, but also being isolated. You know, we can be on our phone a lot. And so we want to kind of give you guys a little feel first for how important this is. You know, it's really important that people have strong friendships in this church. A couple of years ago when we moved on from Pastor John Masonio, they didn't have a pastor in place, and I think part of why the church succeeded in moving on and growing throughout that was because they had a strong foundation of life Bible study classes who were committed to each other. And so that's kind of the why we're here, is the grow groups and the life Bible studies are important. Specifically, I kind of want to talk about grow groups because we were talking about those friends you want to call in time of crisis, and not just, your car breaks down, but, you're going to have a lot of people who go through really tough crises with God and with their spiritual life, and so you want to have those people in your life. And so that's kind of what tonight's about, at least this one, and we're going to go through a lot of stuff, so if we kind of speed through something and it doesn't make sense, just throw your hand up. We'll kind of go through these handouts periodically, and we'll kind of touch upon them, but they're kind of for you to take home and use references later. Some of them may not make sense now, but they're like, oh, we're hoping that you can recall them later and be like, oh, I have a handout. I can at least kind of start processing through some of that. So this is kind of a verse that kind of goes along with what I said. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so kind of the idea is that we're building friendships to strengthen walks with Christ.
This verse of scripture is called the Great Commission, and you've heard Pastor Greg, I'm sure, talk about it. It says, then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so Jesus is commanding us to go out and tell others about Jesus. And the way that is best done is one-on-one, one life on one life. And so obviously Pastor Greg could not possibly have a relationship with everyone in the church, and that's why we need you guys, because you can sit down with groups of 3 to 6 people and build that one-on-one relationship that we could never get to that many people if it weren't for your investment.
So that's what she's talking about, kind of the great co-mission.
Together.
This is the Life Bible Study mission. It's also in your packet, but we've underlined kind of some of the key points. Life Bible Study ministry is the church organized and dedicated to gathering lost and unchurched people while growing believers through life-changing Bible study to become Great Commission Christians, reflecting His love by giving ministry to others. So this is lived out personally and corporately. What we mean by that, we've got the church organized. We organize as a church to help. It's a big church. We have to break out into groups that are conducive to these for a co-mission to build each other up. And we have it split into the three ways. You can kind of see that even in the mission statement, they're woven together. And so we're teaching grow training, but you're going to see some gathering here.
Okay, a couple of quotes we wanted to share with you. As the men and women of the church go, so goes the culture. So you think that you're just impacting the 3, 4, 5, 6 people in your small group. Really, you're impacting not just your small group, but every person their lives touch, as well as your life. So it becomes kind of a ripple effect and has much bigger impact than just you and your 3 or 4 or 5 people in your group with you. And then there's another quote that says, I don't fear failure, I fear succeeding at something that doesn't matter. So if you're gonna give your life away, giving it to something with eternal value is a good place to give it away. Now, I want you to look at this verse with me in just a minute and see what you notice about this verse of scripture.
We is used, not I.
We?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
who's, what's the scope of like who's to be involved?
Every man.
Yeah.
Said three times.
Every man. Every man, admonishing every man, teaching every man, so that every man is complete in Christ. So important to realize that what we're, our goal is to reach every person for Christ. That's why the activities that go on in the church, we're so always saying, bring your unchurched friends. Bring those people you know at work, in your apartment, or your neighborhood, or wherever you meet people, family members, people you know that are not part of the church or any church. Because we want them to come to know Christ. We want to get them involved so that they can come to know Christ. So that's a lot of the activities that go on here are for that purpose, to bring other unchurched people in.
Yeah, and we want everyone not just to be, grow groups aren't for like the spiritually mature or even the opposite, the spiritually immature, I guess. But the grow groups are for everyone, and, you know, everyone, well, not everyone, we'll get to that actually in a bit, but we want, you know, everyone to be thinking of, like everyone in your class is in your ministry. So kind of be thinking of that as we go through.
So think about how many men are in the church or in the men's ministry. How many women are in the women's ministry? That's a lot of people. But there's still a lot of people out there that are not involved in the church that we want to bring in. Now, I want you to look at these questions. Next. These questions, in what areas are we missing it that's keeping us from life transformation? And where are we succeeding in the wrong things? So if you will talk just a minute, we'll give you a couple of minutes around your table to consider those two questions.
His best, and if we're not ready to move forward with shyness.
Like only like under trying to like
It's almost not necessarily, I think it's more personal. It's like trying to like get, you know, your friend of that.
Yeah.
It's like whenever you're trying to.
Okay, so around your tables, what did you decide as a way that we're missing it that's keeping us from life transformation? Somebody want to share what you talked about at your table? Yes, sir.
Well, one of the things that we said was I think there are times that we're so worried that people are going to feel judged. You know, we're so trying to be overly sensitive to that that we miss the point completely. And one of the cool things about having church together, being with people, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, is being able to hold each other accountable,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you're challenged, so that you grow, so that if you're struggling with something, you know, they can help you with that. And we want to be that warm, fuzzy place, but I think we miss that whole accountability aspect.
That's standard, living by the standard.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Anyone else have something different?
Setting our routines,
mm-hmm.
come in and do the same thing over and over again without having a real connection and building those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like those people that just come and go and don't connect. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Anybody have anything else? Yes, sir.
Well, this kind of ties into Matt's comment earlier. Kind of ties into being judged. Like, sometimes we don't want to share the valley experiences that we've been through, the hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And we often like to come off as, you know, we like to share the good points often, but not what led to those good points. And I believe by only sharing the good points, we present ourselves as perfect, and a perfect person is a person that we cannot relate to, because all of us have ups and downs in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we just share the full experience, then it will help others to relate to us better.
Great point. Really good. And what about the second question? Where do we succeed at the wrong things?
That's my favorite. Because I find myself a lot on Sunday mornings getting all the stuff done and not really, you know, connecting with the people. And Miss Fanny used to come every Sunday. She taught Sunday school for 50 years. She would come and she would hug me to force me to stop all the activity and quit being Martha and, you know, acknowledge the people that actually were there. So I still remember that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And all it took was a hug.
That's it.
Mm.
She was a very good
that
teacher.
Sounds simple enough.
Must be a good hug.
I don't know about you guys and all that hugging stuff. Okay, anybody else have something else?
I think sometimes we get too comfortable around people that we're most comfortable with. That we sort of develop a sense of an adversity towards rejection. Like that quote that y'all showed us, how we're not fearing failure, but we fear, you know, succeeding in things that's not really worth our time. Like you can invest so much time and effort and energy into someone, and they don't end up coming back, and that could be very heartbreaking for us.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometimes in doing that, you miss the guy that comes through the door
that
would really love to be welcomed in. But we're so focused on this person that we miss him. That's hard too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I mean, we're gonna do that. It's inevitable, but we just don't want to do that. Yeah, that's hard. Mm-hmm. Okay, so why do we do small groups, Kyle?
All right, so small groups, we've kind of talked a little bit about the one-on-one, kind of thrown out there, you know, who challenges you, and, you know, we want that to be a place where you're challenged, and a place where you can give support to each other, and a place where we can talk about how, you know, where we fall short, like y'all were saying back there, you know, we can share that comfortably. So these are just kind of some of the things. Three keys
for every person. One thing I want to say before we go any further is that in a small group or a grow group, as we call them here, we should have A lot of classes have an open group. Kyle's going to talk about this in a minute, but a grow group should be comprised primarily of people who've already come to know Jesus. And the reason for that is if you get a person who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior in a grow group, what will happen is the whole group becomes focused on the salvation of that one person, and the other people in the group are less likely to grow. And so does it happen that we never have an unsaved person in a group? No, you can't. There's going to be things that are going to happen and you're just not going to realize. You know, maybe even they thought they were saved. But in the course of conversation, then they realize. But the objective is to have the unsaved people not quite in a grow group yet, but really studying other ways and spending times with other groups so that they can come to know Christ, so that when you get in the grow group can go deeper in their study. Does that make sense? Okay, so three keys for every person. The first one is a biblical vision of the Christian life. So that would be a vision that you're going to get because you've studied in the Word. And so you're able to make decisions in your life. You're able to live in a way that reflects an understanding of God's Word. Some verses that would go along with that are set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So you're focused on God's Word. You're spending time in the Word on a daily basis, so you know what the Word says. So when it becomes a decision point or something's happening in your life, you can respond Christianly to it. Another verse is be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like a man, be strong. Yet your every action must be done with love, 1 Corinthians 16. Every action done with love. So that means like when we're interacting with people in our LBS class or in our grow group, we're interacting with them in love. I want to mention to you there, the white handout that's over there should look like this. You should have a copy of it. It's called Practical Reminders for All Grow Leaders. If you're leading a grow group, you will need to read this. I'm trusting you all can read, so I'm not going to read it to you. It's very valuable information. It's going to talk about how to ask good questions, what makes a question a good question, what makes a question not a good question. There are not good questions out there. Don't ask questions that answer or can be answered yes or no. Don't ask a question in a way that is leading, like you're looking for a particular answer. Ask questions that are started with the words who, why, or what. I mean, not who, what, why, or how. Questions that they're going to have to think about to answer. Don't be afraid of silence. Sometimes silence is a great thing in a group because it means everyone is thinking. They're not just popping answers off the top of their head. They're going to think, and they're going to give you a good answer. So that is very important. So if you will read this, I think it will help you. So the second key for every person is the right faith skills. And those involve Bible study, decision making according to God's word, conflict resolution, prayer, spiritual warfare, stewardship, and friendship with other believers. That would be your grow group. So some of these things, Bible study, prayer, these things are part of your spiritual discipline that you're going to be doing on your own in your own time every day. But then you're also going to come together with your grow group on a regular basis, probably once a week, and be doing even more things all together. Okay, the third key for every person is support for the journey. There's two types of support for the journey. One is a solid group of friends. So when you get into a grow group of 3 to 6 people, you're going to have a small group of people that you are doing life one-on-one with. In that group, hopefully, our goal would be that you would choose one person to be your accountability partner. At one point, one Sunday, Stephen Murray said from the stage that when he was in Summit as a single person, he had an LBS group. That was a group of about 50 people that he came and did church with every Sunday. And out of those 50 people, he was in a grow group, and he asked those men in the auditorium to stand up. And 5 guys stood up, and he named them all. And then he asked all of them to sit down but one, and of that, that one man was his accountability partner, the person that he had been accountable to and answered the really hard questions with every day, the guy that he knew was in the trenches with him, that if he was in a pickle, he was the guy he called and said, pray for me, this is happening. And that's what all of us need to help us stay solid. And then the second support is an older friend or mentor to walk alongside you. Our church has a mentoring program for men called Generation to Generation, and it has a mentoring program for women called TAG. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute.
So we've kind of talked a little bit about, you know, what we need individually to be growing. And so the Grow Group defined is a group of men or women who come together regularly in grace-centered environments to pursue life transformation through a balanced or transparent connection, prayer, Bible study, accountability, and service. It's not a curriculum, rather it is a way of relating to others that is biblical, balanced, and beneficial to all involved. So we can't give a three-step process to make a good Grow Group. Kind of what we want to give you guys is a vision and kind of a little bit of structure that we found that helps. Kind of the key, the first thing that's underlined is grace-centered. I guess I can't stress how critical that is in a Grow Group. We're going to have people who've gone through things that may sound really strange or foreign to us, and that we're going to say stuff to them that they're going to, hey, how can you, struggle with that? But there's a real beauty, I think, when people receive confession or just deal with your problems in a grace-centered way that really helps helps you grow. And that's, as a leader, you've got to lead in that. If you can't, show grace to others, then the people in your group aren't going to show grace to others. And so that's kind of the first key. And kind of as we kind of walk through how we establish groups, and we'll kind of talk about that a little bit more. So the Grow Group facilitator, you're kind of in charge of providing spiritual leadership. I won't go through all of this, but you're the planner of the group. You're kind of, you don't have to be the most spiritual person in the group. It's great when there's someone who in your group maybe have a better, better Bible study or is a more diligent about memorizing scripture. You don't have to be the most spiritual person in the group. You have to be the eyes of the group that, see what's going on in the group. Is everyone coming? Is everyone interested? I'm gonna commit to pray for the group, because if I'm the eyes of the group and I see something, and I'm not going to God to ask Him to help move in my group, then I'm not leading the group with the strength of God and the Holy Spirit. And so you're kind of the spiritual leader, not in that you're necessarily the most spiritual person, in a whatever. What do you want to say that? But you're the person who's got to be the eyes and the leader, and that you're looking out for everybody in the group. And then Grow Group members, we talked about must be a believer, and that's kind of the one also must be involved in live Bible study, and we want to stress that, because there's a real temptation sometimes to gather with Grow Groups, because a lot of times your Grow Group becomes your favorite people, and y'all are all buddies, and you do kind of the same stuff, and you're interested in the same things, and really, you're gonna have a limited growth if you just hang out with your Grow Group, because you guys are probably all maybe good at one thing, it's gonna help you to spread out in the church, and so we want everyone to be working with members of the church in all ages, and that kind of goes in your life Bible study, but also if you choose to do service, get involved with your church and with men's serve or the ladies and men's retreats every year. So still be involved. We don't want people to get in grow groups and then just be in the grow groups.
Okay, let me talk about setting a foundation. What are you going to do the first or second week of your grow group? So at the very beginning of your grow group, it might be wise for you to have a conversation like this with the people in your group. What is it going to take in our group for you to feel safe? What would we have to do in our group so that you would feel like you could say anything you think or feel without any risk involved? And you're going to get answers like confidentiality, trust, lack of judgment. You're going to get those kinds of answers. I would recommend that you write those down and that they become kind of the foundation, the concrete under the structure of your grow group, so that everyone in the group has agreed this is what our grow group is going to look like. It's going to be a safe place. Everything said in the grow group stays in the grow group. Nobody talks outside the group. We have confidentiality. We have trust. It's very important in a grow group that you know that the people in your group are on your side and they're praying for you and they're there for you. Those kinds of things will help you connect in a deeper way. So as the leader of that group, it's going to be up to you on week one to tell your story with some transparency and some authenticity. Not perfection. You don't have to be perfect. You can share whatever's happened in your life that's been hard for you. Now, the objective in a grow group is what we call progressive transparency. So you don't want to share like every detail of every trial you've ever experienced in your whole life on the first night. No, we don't back up the dump truck and dump it all on them in one night. So you give them a little bit. And then you hear in the first 3 to 4 weeks, you give each person a chance to speak and hear their story. And as your group progresses in the weeks and months ahead, then you share a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, because that's progressive transparency. It's not all at once. It's over time, an increasing trust and an increasing ability to share. There's listed here are some ways that you can go about this. You can, if people are having trouble sharing their story, there's a list of questions. They are on that white sheet I referenced earlier. Questions like, what's your greatest childhood memory? How would you describe your home growing up? What are you passionate about? What relationships have been significant in your faith journey? What is God doing in your life? But those are the kind of questions that you need to begin to think about. Think deeply. As the leader of your group, you're going to want to be interested in this pink handout. It's a list of all the approved Bible studies that are out there. Now, does this mean this is exhaustive? In no way is this exhaustive. So whosoever group you're in the church, if you're in an adult Bible study, you can email Ben or Melanie Russell. If you're in children's, or if you're in Summit, you email the Summit office. Whatever group you're associated with, if you want to study something not on the list, email in and ask, can we do this study? The objective is not to limit you. The objective is to keep people from getting off into things that are heresy. That's the only goal. So there's a whole lot of stuff out there that would be approved, but it's not on this piece of paper because we can't list everything. So we just are trying to keep people from getting off on the wrong foot. Now, as your grow group is getting started, in the first week or two, I would highly recommend that you look at this green piece of paper. It's called your grow group covenant. And the reason that I recommend it is because sometimes what will happen in a grow group is you get to studying together and you get in about 2 or 3 months in, and there's a person in your group that is kind of disorganized maybe, or they're just a really busy person. I don't know, there are probably a million different reasons, but they don't come every week. They come every other week, or maybe they wait 3 weeks to come. And when they're there, the group has one dynamic, and when they're not there, it's a different dynamic, because it's not just about them needing the group, it's about the group needing them as well. And so the objective is that every member of your group would come every week so that everybody can help one another. So if you wait 2 months and then bring this up, and you've already got a person who's only showing up occasionally, it's like you change the rules in the middle of the grow group. If you have them sign this in the very, very beginning, then everybody knows from the very beginning that you expect them to be there every single week so that you can glean from them the same way they can glean from you. The other thing that sometimes happens is a grow group will go, oh, I've got my friends now. We don't need the LBS. That is not true. You cannot be in a grow group if you're not also participating in your LBS class. So it's very important to communicate to the people in the group that just because you now have your little circle of friends does not mean that you can quit coming to church. You need to be coming to church. You need to be going to LBS. And so this document will help you communicate that information. Another thing is, in the very beginning, we have this purple piece of paper has about 5 pages worth of questions, discussion starters. If you get stumped, if you're having a hard time figuring out good questions, this may jog your thinking process. So this will help you figure out, as the leader, good leaders can lead a whole discussion never making a statement, just asking really good questions. Really good, thought-provoking questions that cause the people in your group to project themselves into the text of Scripture and begin to think about, what does this mean for my life? That's the goal. And if I'm going to believe what this says tomorrow, how am I going to live that out? That's ultimately our goal. So you're going to do that by asking questions of application. Those are questions that are asking for the facts of the text. Exactly what is the text saying? Questions of interpretation. What does this text mean? What is the author's intent? What is he trying to tell us? And then questions of application. If I believe what the author is saying, how will my life look different at work tomorrow because I understood this today? Those are the kind of questions we want to ask. And then another sheet of paper that we've given you is this bright orange piece of paper. Unless you get someone in your group who is feeling weighted down with guilt, this is a great piece of paper for them. It talks about our position in Christ. Because you're a believer, what do you have in life as a result of the fact that you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? It's a lot of things that we get. Now, in your group, your goal is never to solve people's problems. We are not a counseling service. So the only advice you can offer is exactly what's in the text of Scripture. If somebody has a problem and you can't answer it out of the text of Scripture, the yellow piece of paper that you have tells you how to go about referring them for counseling. We have a whole counseling center here. Their rates are on a sliding scale to accommodate your income. And you can send them there and they can get help from a trained professional counselor, and you don't have to try to fix their problems. All of that being said, let me share a story with you. There was a group in the church of girls, and the leader was extremely invested in the group. And in that group was a girl who mid-semester, her cousin, who had been like a sister to her, they had lived in each other's homes and been really close, her cousin suddenly dies. And then there's another girl in the group that, unbeknownst to the group at the beginning of the semester, this girl wasn't saved. That group spent so many hours together that semester. I mean, over and beyond what normal grow groups would spend together. But let me tell you the ripple effect. The girl who lost her cousin, her parents were having marital problems. They'd been married about 25 years. And they saw through this grow group, this young lady began to be so convinced of Jesus Christ and his power in her life that her parents began to watch her and marvel at how she was living out her faith, it impacted her parents so much, they had split up, they got back together. She came into my office one night, she was being baptized that night as her parents were celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary in Europe. All because of her living out what had happened in her grow group. I'm telling you people, what you're doing is powerful in the lives of the people in your group. Okay, next slide.
And one more thing about this, like, I would challenge y'all too to maybe before you pick a book, take like, you can take 4 weeks or a month.
Getting
to know each other. Because kind of what you'll talk about in testimonies is, you know, what, like going in, you may want to study one book, but the group and what they need might be different. And going through testimonies is a great way to see, you know, hey, what does our group want to do? What do we want to grow in specifically right now? And the covenant and the kind of testimonies can help you say, oh, like our group wants to study prayer. We want to study, you know, memorizing scripture, and we want to be just better relationally with each other. And so I challenge y'all to kind of, it's easy to want to like set a book on day one and start reading away, but I challenge you to kind of wait for a little while and kind of let the group get to know each other and kind of tell you what they want to study.
Non-negotiables of grow groups. We talked about this, Kyle talked about this just a minute ago. They're grace-centered. That means that in your group, it's okay for anybody to say anything, and you're not going to go, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do with this. You're just going to go, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. How can we pray for you? How can we help you? You want to be accepting and loving and prayerful and do all you can to help them take their next step in their growth with Christ. They're committed, we talked about this already, to the word, to the church, and to the group. When you're in the group, don't back out of the church. Everything said in the grow group stays in the grow group. And progressive transparency, we talked about that. And then the essential elements of a grow group are connection and discussion. You want to connect with these people at the heart level. You want to pray for one another. And not just pray for one another on that one night a week when you're meeting, but Joe in your group is having a job interview on Thursday, and your group met on Monday night. On Wednesday night or Thursday morning, everyone in that group should be texting him saying, we're praying for you as you go through this interview today. We're with you. Thursday afternoon, he should be getting text messages. How did it go? Is there any other thing we could pray for? Be in it with each other. Walk together in life through your grow group. And then Bible study and spiritual disciplines. Hold each other accountable for a daily time in God's word, for daily time of prayer. Even though you're not together, hold each other accountable for those things, and then do those things when you are together. Vision-centric accountability. Kyle's going to talk about that in just a minute. And one thing that it's good for your group to do is serve. Find a place that everybody would like to serve and serve together. So sometimes as a study, some grow groups will do things like, some grow groups go to the table, the women's ministry is having the table, it starts Tuesday night, and maybe a women's grow group would go to the table together, and then afterwards they would stay for 30 minutes or an hour, pray for one another, talk about what they just learned, and then come back again the next week. And that could be the content that they're studying. Or in Summit, we have the porch on Tuesday night as well. They're kind of a conflict, but you have to choose. Don says it's like a buffet. You can't eat everything. You just have to pick and choose what works for you the best. So you choose. You might choose a milestones class on a Wednesday night and go as a grow group. And then stay after the class is over and discuss it and pray for one another. Or you may choose a book and meet in someone's living room every week and study that particular Bible study. It could be a book that someone wrote. It could be a book of the Bible. I mean, there's a myriad of things you can do together. But then you can also go out into the community and find ways to serve. Men can do men serve. Women can serve at the Faith Center. There's all kinds of ways. You can teach Sunday school together. Lots of ways you can serve. And that will build that community that we're seeking.
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about vision-centric accountability. And it sounds kind of buzzwordy, but really the only thing that we mean is with the covenant and with sharing testimonies in the beginning, we want to, like, accountability a lot of times sometimes can be, okay, this is what, like, I think I'm going to be held accountable in, so I'm going to hold you accountable in those same areas of struggle or of faith. And you know, a lot of times we struggle with different things. And so kind of in the beginning of your grow group, and this is what kind of having a covenant can help or sharing testimony can help, is you want to ask people in the group, you know, hey, what kind of Christian do you want to be? Like, where do you want to, like, have victory in sin over the next, you know, months? Like, where do you see yourself now? Like, what do you see, you know, what do you want God to change in your life? And, you know, ask people, you know, what's the road that you want to be on? And then you can step in, and instead of, you know, correcting something that you see as a problem, you're saying, hey, you know, you said you wanted to be this kind of person in Christ. You know, are you staying on that path, or are we veering off here? You know, how can I help you, you know, get back on that path? And there's a list here, because accountability is often limited to the purity, but, I mean, prayer, scripture memory, attitude towards others, purity, reading the word, serving others, relationships, sharing faith, even like work, you know, attitude at work, I think can be something. You know, and if you hear, I think it's something like, if you hear someone making kind of the same comments in class about, in your grow group, you know, oh, I'm down about this, and it's every week, you know, maybe say, hey, you know, like, I noticed that you seem to be, like, you know, struggling with your job a lot. Is there, you know, where would you like to be? You know, where can we fix this, and what can we, you know, work on together to help you, you know, serve God in that area. And so, really, vision-centric just means you're helping them establish the vision for what kind of Christian they want to be, or what kind of person they want to be, and then holding them to that instead of your own standard. And that's all. And when I say your own standard, I mean, and their standard, I mean a biblical standing, you know, where, you know, what scriptures speak to you, and where, you know, where do you, what characters in the Bible do you want to be like, I think is kind of the, not something outside the Bible, but something inside the Bible. And then I think that's mostly kind of what we talked about. And yeah, that can be, there's kind of two doors too with accountability. There's that I'm going to be transparent with you and share what's going on in my life, and invite you in to say, okay, like, I think you need to, you know, give that up to God, or to, you know, pursue Christ a little more in that area. And there's also me looking into someone else and saying, hey, I'm noticing that, you know, like, if someone's sharing the same, again, kind of the same thing, you know, I'm upset at work all the time, I'm saying, hey, like, I noticed that you're upset about that a lot, can we work on that? And so that's kind of the double doors. You're open with what's going on in your life and inviting in, inviting, I guess, their accountability, them to hold you accountable, as well as holding them accountable. And then generation to generation. So these are kind of, I guess, ways you can, we have the grow group, but then also we have great mentorship programs. You know, if you need, if you want like an extra, outside of grow group, if you want extra, you know, help from an older man, because sometimes there's just stuff that you're not gonna understand the stage of life you're in. We have that.
It's on the HFDC website under Men's Ministry. There's a link there for You can fill out an application, just like on the HFBC website under Women's Ministry, there's a link for the TAG Ministry. So if you're interested in having an older man or woman, men for men, women for women, pour into your life, that's how you go about filling out the application to either be a mentor or be mentored, whichever you're interested in doing. I know for myself, when I was young, I wanted to learn to parent differently than I was parented. And so I really wanted a mentor. For you guys, it might be a different issue, but it's kind of all the same thing, is where you're looking for somebody to teach you how to do something the way Christ would have you do it versus what you're currently doing and you don't know how to get there. Does that make sense? This is the verse, Titus 2, 3 through 5. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, so that no one will malign the word of God. So our behavior either honors the Lord and brings him glory, or it defames his name because we're not behaving the way he wants us to. The goal is, in a mentoring program, is that your mentor is going to teach you how to live more Christ-like for God's glory.
Those can be things that you can refer your group members to as well, like, but hey, you know, if you want a mentor, you know, beyond just the group, we have these programs available.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of some more creative ideas for all groups. So Koinonia is just kind of, that's a summit thing only. So if you're, y'all can do combinations if you're in summit. Grow groups doing the same study, so you could, like, if you have different grow groups within your Black Bible study class, you could do the same study, and then on some nights come together and you know, talk about that together. Dinners before is a great time to have community and get to know each other. Mid-length classes, those can be really good, especially if you're, like, as a grow group leader, if you, you know, lead a semester of a Bible study and the next one you're kind of like, oh, I'm a little, you know, tired, I think maybe we can do a mid-late class together. The mid-late classes have really good teachers, and there's a lot of them that are specifically for stages of life or for grow groups where they'll have teaching and then breakouts kind of designed for you to bring a whole grow group to. So you can really get some great teaching there and kind of take a little bit of the teaching burden off yourself if you're like feeling a little weary from that. And then there's also navigators, memorization, and I think that's something that is kind of underutilized a lot. Like memorizing scripture as a group can be really powerful, and I mean, if you can quote scripture to each other, like you know, as far as accountability goes, that can be a lot more powerful than just you know, the words that we have often.
Does anyone have a question?
Wraps it up. Anyone have any questions? Yes.
Are we getting copies of these slides? Or is it possible to?
It is possible. If you email me, I'll send them to you.
Okay.
Yes.
Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Who is it that we're supposed to email if we need to do so, if we wanted to do something off this list?
Your LBS class is under whose leadership? What part of the church are you in? Are you
young
a married
Marys.
Young adult?
Yeah.
Young
okay, then you would email Brad Talbert and Emily Brown.
Correct.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
And for singles summit, is that Dawn?
Dawn.
That you would email?
Since you're a girl, you'd email me.
You.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can email Dawn and I both.
Okay. And who's not Melanie Russell? I wrote some questions and I know who you email for.
Is that it? Questions?
You can email me or you can email Angela Garcia also. Okay, who has a birthday closest to today? Is today anyone's birthday? Does anyone have a birthday this week? Next week? 2 weeks either side of today? A month either side of today.
December 31st.
March 1st.
January 2nd.
They're closest
so far.
Okay. Here's a gift card. door prize for you, and if you would fill out your name on the slip that she has for you, the church needs it for the
rest. We filled it. I know you.
Thank you.
Eternal.
March is here very much.
There's snacks right outside the door, guys.
You're
on your way to your next class.
Thank
you.
You are
thank
so
y'all.
Sure.
Cinderella?
Is that, I'm one of the grapes. I love
baby
teeth with grapes.
This is incorrect. This is incorrect. This is incorrect. This is incorrect.